All right. Good morning, everybody. Just waiting for this thing to get set up. Make sure we're up and going here. It's my first Facebook Live, so we'll see how this goes. Anyway, good morning, everybody. Good to be with you this morning, even at a distance. Want to talk about this morning a passage in the song of gratitude that David wrote and presumably sang as well. This is in 1 Chronicles 16, and it's a high point in the life of David, and probably a high point in the life of the nation of Israel as well. At this point, David had succeeded in bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. Now, a little bit of history. The Ark had been lost in battle to the Philistines some years earlier, but it had caused illness in their town, and so they had it for 7 months, and then they sent it back to Israel, pulled in a cart by a couple of cows. The Israelites then received it, and it stayed in a place called Kiriath Jearim, and it hadn't been restored to a place of worship yet. It was basically kept there and tended to, and away from any place of worship in the nation of Israel. So, similar to the Ark of the Covenant, David for years had also been out of place. He'd been maligned and misunderstood. He'd been hunted and treated like a criminal by King Saul. You might remember some of the stories, and indeed a lot of psalms that David wrote were during that period where he was hiding out with his mighty men. But now things are coming together for Israel. David was anointed king. He was taking his rightful place of rule from Jerusalem. And now the Ark was there too. So God's plans were unfolding, and things had never looked so good. In this we read 1 Chronicles 16:11. Seek Yahweh and his strength. Seek his face continually. Now this could have served as an anthem for David through all of his testing and trials. His whole life had built up to this point of triumph, joy, vindication, and gratitude. Why talk about this now? It seems like if we're talking about our lives, we're on the other side of the spectrum, aren't we? If we think about our whole lives building up to this point, seem a little anticlimactic. You might be thinking, well, I'm stuck at home Sunday morning watching Justin on Facebook Live. My kids are making me crazy. I can't go to work. I'm not sure what my next paycheck will look like, and on and on. Here's the thing. If God's command through David's pen in the best of times, could it not also be even more applicable to us in tough times as well? I think so. And so what we want to say this morning is that a pursuit of God is always appropriate. And what I want to do is unpack this verse, 1 Chronicles 16:11, together this morning. So if you have a Bible, go ahead and turn there. And I hope to center us on God's word and possibly restore order in the chaos of our hearts and minds given current situation in our country. But let me open us with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for allowing us to still be together and to meet with technology. Even though we are quarantined in our homes, God, you have provided means for us to continue to connect, to study your word together, and we thank you for that. God, we want to ask for wisdom for our leaders as they make decisions that affect our lives and the lives of many across our country. I want to ask that you would continue to guide and direct them. God, we ask the same thing for us, as in our families, we are also faced with making decisions, some of them difficult ones. Some of us are facing challenging times as well. God, we want to ask that you would provide comfort and guidance and clarity for each of us in these times. Help us to continue to love well. Give us patience. Give us gratitude. Give us grace in this season to be able to live our lives in a way that's pleasing to you. We ask this in your name. Amen. Well, as we go through 1 Chronicles 16:11, the first word we see is seek. Seek. And this part of speech is what's known as an imperative. It's a command. It's a non-negotiable, according to David here. Now, it means to tread or to trample with the feet, this word seek, with the idea of going to a place to frequent it. Now, when I was younger, I had a dog. I had a collie or a miniature collie named Samish, and he liked to bark at people that walked by our yard. And we had a fence, and along the inside of the fence, we had bark built up and landscaping. And so what Samish would do is he would run along the inside of that fence barking at people as they walked by on the other side of the fence. And he frequented this path so much that he built up a berm in one corner of the fence where he would run around the outside. You see, he had frequented that part of the yard so much, he built a berm. And in fact, through the rest of the yard, you could see a path in the grass and in the flower beds where he walked. He had tread that path so frequently that you could easily see where he'd been. And so seek here is similar to that. And specifically in the context of this verse, it means to apply oneself to anything. It's to study, to follow, to practice something. Now, we're talking about familiarity that comes as a result of a pursuit and repetition. When it comes to God, we should seek Him. We should have paths worn in our lives. We should have a berm built up in our lives from practicing, pursuing, frequenting our relationship with God. In times like these, I believe we can get distracted. We can even become consumed with the information that we're receiving and how do we respond to it best. I mean, what information is actually correct can be tough. It's not all bad, of course. I mean, certainly it's wise to be well-informed and to be able to make intelligent decisions. But in this time, is that all that we're seeking? Are we just pursuing information on the spread of a virus, our government's response, or are we seeking God as well? That said, have we sought God in this time? Have we sought God as much as we've looked at a Facebook feed or news headlines? Well, next, David makes it clear who we are supposed to seek, and it's Yahweh. David says to seek God. Now, Yahweh here is the proper name for Creator God as given to the Israelite people through the prophet Moses. This name distinguished their God from all the other gods of the time, and there were plenty. And it was a constant temptation of Israel to join in worship of those gods. Here, David singles out the God of the Israelites, the God who led them out of Egypt, the only one that they were to worship. The entirety of David's song is dedicated to Yahweh and to his revealed power, his goodness, and his faithfulness to the nation of Israel. That's the who of our verse, Yahweh. Now, David says that we are to seek Yahweh and his strength. The picture here is one of a fortified or impenetrable fortress. We are to seek the safety and security that can come only from God himself. In times like these, there are a lot of things that we can run to and seek safety in. Some of them have been taken away. Some of them are in short supply in this particular season. Now, it may seem ridiculous to take comfort in toilet paper and hand sanitizer, but their absence on our store shelves indicates they are of great importance to many, doesn't it? Well, I certainly don't wish to make light of people's very real fear during this time, and I don't mean to suggest that we shouldn't also take wise precautions during this time. The real question is, however, what is the source of our security? Is it provisions or is it a person? David's song points out how God has shown himself undeniably a God who is worthy of the trust of his people. At that point in the history of Israel, God had been faithful to give his people victory. He'd been faithful to bring the ark into their possession in his own holy city, Jerusalem. Well, as we said earlier, this may not feel like a high point in your life. You may need to remember how God has shown himself powerful and faithful in the past before we're able to think about running to him for shelter now. Even so, David's song called the Israelites to remember, even as I'm calling you now to remember. What has God done for you and your family? How has he shown himself powerful and faithful in your lives? I encourage you to take some time today. Sit down with your family and answer these questions together. Mom, dad, kids, what do you remember about God? How has he shown himself powerful and faithful in your life? This is how we are to apply ourselves to the strength of God and make ourselves familiar with it. That is, to talk about it, to remember. Well, next, David says to seek. Seek again. Just like the first seek, this second seek is a command. It's an imperative as well. Except for, it's a different word this time in the Hebrew with a different nuance and meaning. Instead of familiarity through repetition, this is to search for someone or something, to pursue them. It was used to describe someone seeking an audience with a king, or God even, possibly to make a petition. Pursuit reveals something about the pursuer and the pursuee. On the part of the pursuer, it reveals will, intention, and even persistence. We are to be persistent in our pursuit of God. There are parables in the New Testament that talk about persistence in prayer. As for the pursuee, that is God in this case, it reveals their perceived goodness and their value. Now, if we don't see God as good or valuable, we're not going to pursue him. And so we first have to remind ourselves, perhaps, of his goodness, his power, his faithfulness, so that we recognize that he is worthy of our pursuit. Well, David brings clarity here in terms of what is it that we are to search for or pursue, specifically in regard to Yahweh. It is his face, David says. This could also be translated his presence. It paints the picture of a personal, intimate, face-to-face kind of relationship with God, one in which we seek the audience of a king. It speaks of a sensitivity to and an enjoyment of the relational elements of a knowledge of God. We may seek the protection or provision of God, but how often do we seek his presence? In a time where we're instructed to maintain physical, social distancing, there is no limits on our ability to pursue spiritual intimacy with God. Think about that. In a time where we're supposed to stay at home and limit contact with anybody only to the most essential circumstances, whether it be getting groceries or something like that, your access to God is unchanged. You have the potential of being close to him right now as you ever were. Now, as we pull back, if we look at this passage of the song as a whole, we can note the parallel construction of this passage. We could roughly sum it up as the practice of his power and the pursuit of his presence, the two phrases. But wait, there's more. David ends this passage by adding continually. We are to seek his presence or seek his face continually. This is practicing God's power and pursuing his presence is to be an ongoing, perpetual thing in the life of the believer. This is important. If you're like me, you may find that you can do these things on occasion, in high points maybe, or even low points when we feel like we've hit the bottom and we're confused and we don't know what to do. But David records that they should be done continually. Why? Because as human beings, we're forgetful and fickle. We neglect results in a relational distance from God. How do your relationships with friends and family go when you neglect them? A lack of communication, a relationship, an interaction doesn't usually lead to health in the relationship. It leads to misunderstanding. It leads to insecurity. We play this weird game of Mad Libs in our relationship sometimes when we don't communicate regularly, and when we hear something or we see something from somebody, perhaps it's nonverbal communication, we fill in the blanks, we fill in what we don't know. And when we fill it in with what we don't know, it's usually negative things that cause us to be insecure rather than positive things that grow warmth in that relationship. It's connection, regular communication that build our security in the relationship so that we trust that person. And we know that they care about us and that they love us and that they're seeking to encourage us and that they're there for our good, not to tear us down. But when we're apart from people, communication breaks down and we don't typically assume the best, do we? That said, In times of social distancing, we can grow ever closer to God. This is why we said earlier that a pursuit of God is always appropriate. Now, how are we to approach this and to be obedient to the command here? Well, I think we'll find that in this passage of David's, one phrase informs the other. As we practice his power by recalling the ways in which he's shown himself powerful and faithful in our lives, we'll be drawn to pursue his presence. I've got some suggestions for you this morning. You can give these a shot. First is this: remember with your family, in the presence of your family, times that God showed himself powerful and faithful in your life. Y'all are stuck at home together. Do this together too. Do your kids, does your spouse for that matter, know how you've seen God work in your life? Do they know how you've seen him demonstrate his power and his faithfulness and his love to you? Sure, times may be different now than they were then, but realize that he is as much now in charge as he was at any time in your life. Next, lead your prayers with a remembrance and a thanksgiving to God. This is a great alignment tool for getting ourselves right with God, namely remembering where we stand in relationship with him. Now, all of the circumstances of our life, or a vast majority of the circumstances of our life, are different now. That doesn't have to be the case with God. Your relationship with him can be steady. Certainly, his relationship to you hasn't changed. Lastly, do this. Bring your concerns and petitions to God and pursue time in his presence today. What does this mean? Aren't we always in his presence? Well, in a sense, yes, God's omnipresent. But what I'm talking about is quieting yourself in the midst of the noise and the chaos of life and setting your focus on him. Who is God? What has he done for you? What does he ask of you? Further, what is he teaching you in this time? What do you need to know about yourself? What is he revealing about you in this time of challenge? What do you need to know about him? What are you learning about him in this time of challenge? How does he want you to care for your spouse, your family in this difficult time? It's hard to care for our neighbor maybe like we would. I know it's even hard to care for each other in our church family the way we would typically. But what is he asking of you with those that are closest to you? This time has given us an opportunity to focus on those who are closest to us, biologically, in most cases, but certainly the folks that we're living with. Guys, what is he asking you to do in this season? Is there some relationship work that needs to be done in your own home? This is a time to put our house in order, so to speak, and maybe a time that has removed other distractions in a way that we haven't had removed before. For some of us, work is off the table, at least the way we knew it. And we are afforded greater time to spend with our spouse and our kids. And quantity time, as we know, does not necessarily equal quality time. But guys, what is God calling us to do in this very unique season in our own family? I want to ask you that. Well, I'd like to close us with a prayer this morning. I'd also like to remind you, if there's anything that you need, if you need prayer, if you need even a run to the grocery store, you have, I believe, our contact number, you have our emails. Please reach out to me, the deacons, the elders. We would be happy to help you however we can during this challenging time. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your servant David, who is a man after your own heart, who loved you and who sought to please you with his life. Even when it was difficult, God, we know that he ran to you. And because of that, he was able to enjoy you even more in times of great gratitude and rejoicing. God, even right now, we don't know the time frames for things going on in our lives, in our country. But God, I ask that you would give us the strength to draw close to you in this difficult time, so that in times of rejoicing, we could rejoice with even greater depth, knowing that you've carried us through difficult times. God, I pray that you would draw us to you, that you would warm our hearts to you, that we would be faithful to seek your strength, that we would be faithful to seek your face continually. And God, that through our love for you and our obedience for you, in that way, you would help us to love others in whatever shape or form that is to take in this season, and that we would be obedient in doing that. God, I pray for our families who are together perhaps more than they are. Usually we know that in these times that frustration can build. God, give us grace and patience with one another. Help us to love each other well and to be able to look back on this season as one of obedience, of care, of love, one in which we demonstrated the fruits of the Spirit with each other. God, we ask these things in your name, amen. Well, thanks for joining me today, folks. We hope to see you again soon. Take care.